Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So my sermon title today is, I almost wanted to sing the Chaka Khan song. My sermon title is Tell Me Something Good. Tell me something. No, no. Y'all been in the church too long. A preacher wanted to know what his teenage son would be like in the future. So he prayed to God and asked God to give him a good sign. And God told him to give the son this little test. Put a Bible on his bed, and if he takes the Bible, he's destined to be a preacher. Then put a silver dollar next to the Bible, which if he took, meant that he will be a banker or a businessman. Next to the Bible and the silver dollar, you are to put a bottle of whiskey. And if he takes the whiskey, that means that he's going to struggle with addictions. Next to all of those other items, place a mirror. And if he takes the mirror, that he means he's going to have a self-centered, arrogant, narcissistic kind of life. Finally, put a Playboy magazine next to the other items. And if he takes the Playboy magazine, that means he's going to be a misogynistic womanizer. Then the dad hid in the closet to see what his son would take. When his son entered into the room, his son grabbed all five of the things. And then he held up the mirror in front of him and as if to say, wow. And the dad said, oh my God, he's gonna be the president. Ta-da-da, come on. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Are we still having technical issues?
We're looking at you.
Oh, okay. It was ever so good that first unforgettable day when Christ was born. There were the elements of the mystery and strange, baffling things were happening. There was the mystery of infancy. The scripture did not declare that a bejeweled emperor had come among the daughters and sons of the earth with this glittering court, well-dressed. But rather the words were something like this. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. No earthly silver trumpet sounded. No drums played, no armies marched, no political scepter changed hands that first Christmas, for it was really a mystery of infancy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The mystery of infancy is the mystery of God giving a fresh start and out of the oddness, the oldness, bringing newness. This is the promise of every child. Anyone here who has witnessed the birth of a child or has given birth to a child, this is the promise. That's something new. I suppose that one statement repeated more often than any other is in deprived homes, probably in inner city homes, probably in those communities that are struggling, is that I want my child to have a better chance than I had. I know my parents said that as immigrants coming to the United States from Jamaica. I want my child to have a better chance than I had. Yes, and if there is hope in this land, it has been because people believe that their children represent something fresh, that their children represent something hopeful and bright, and are not bound to the past. The mystery of infancy is really a mystery of newness, of birth. God's power is not exhausted. And every child's life says, this is the mystery of a child. They come forth from parents whose bones are hardened, whose habits are formed, and whose mindsets are really pretty much fixed, and whose thought patterns are established. And yet, out of all of that, this child comes into the world new, fresh. But the baby is a new creature, with all the vast possibilities of this far horizon and distant vista stretching far above. This baby that's coming out of old is bringing something new. That child, any child, might inaugurate a new era in history. That child, there may be in any nursery today, visit any hospital, any home where a child has been born, a new life. A new life that will lift the heavy hands of cancer from the human race. Maybe today a child is born that will open the gates of liberty for every person on earth. For the mystery of the child and the birth of a child is the mystery of new beginning. A child's life says, but righteousness can blossom where racism and hatred and war and violence and hunger and sin and ugliness has lived. This new birth of this child gives us hope. Every child that's born, this new birth gives us some promise for the future. And I would argue that that was probably the case in the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus heralded the arrival of a new chance for the children and the people of the world. He represented a way to a new birth and a new life. He offered to humanity a fresh start. He empowered us because he forgave sin. He empowered us to make right between humanity and God, to pull down all of those walls that we erect to separate ourselves, racial wars, socioeconomic wars, gender wars, pull those down. And he comes into this world fresh and invites you and me to be reconciled with each other. The Bible talks about that. If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creature. But amidst the angels, the anthems, and the bright Christmas, evil reared its nasty head and spoke its hate-filled words when the baby Jesus was born. Herod inserted his really vulgar ambitions and his ugly deceptions into this blessed moment of the birth of a new child, into the entrance of divinity into the world among humanity. Matthew tells us that Herod heard that a child had been born, a new opportunity, a new birth, a new start. And the child was to be born whose future threatened the deceitful king's future. And I think that whenever goodness, virtue, and integrity appears, right around the corner, there's going to be some wickedness to challenge that goodness and that virtue and that integrity. So Herod presses the wise men, who probably weren't wise because they saw a baby and they brought myrrh, frankincense. They should have brought a diaper and a baby bottle. But, you know, he presses the wise men for details as to where this young child had been born. And then advance as his reason for wanting to know where the child's location is because he wants to go and worship this child. So the mystery, as I was reading the text, I was just saying, this is just really mysterious. The mystery of infancy, we must add the mystery of iniquity. Infancy and iniquity, both of them existing at the same time. Where did this iniquity come from? Could it have entered as a byproduct of God's own creative act? Was sin and deception the debris, the trash left from God's creative labor? Doesn't scripture declare that God looked around and saw all that God had created and it was good? Yet, by some mystery, evil, crime, and evilness is with us in this world. How could God, at the end of all of this creation, say it was good, and yet we have all of this bad stuff? David in the Psalms felt that this kind of perversity so much pervaded and our life that David says it's woven into the very fabric of who we are. In sin, David says, did my mother conceive me? Sin is with us. No small pill, no cute cures, no mild remedies that can get rid of sin. And against the power of evil, we must really war every day, for evil goes out into the world seeking, as scripture would say in the King James Version, whom it may devour. Because we've got to fight against it, personally and in public. All of our lives, we've got to fight against evil. And we have to renew this battle every single day that we wake up. We have to fight to celebrate joy and the gladness of the Christmas time, because there's so many other things going on around us that will zap that energy and that joy and that good tidings from us. But we can't let our guards down. We can't be blinded to the truth that there is much ugliness going on in the world in the midst of this joyful time. There's much that is evil and sinful, iniquity among us. Much that would allow us to say, where did this come from? Christmas declares that even when God does God's best, iniquity arises and brings to us these tensions that we are dealing with. Christmas shows us that the mystery of the stubborn sin that prevails, that keeps knocking at our door. And Christmas declares that the mystery of God's invasion into that sin, into that hatred, into that violence. Christmas reminds us that God has never given up on the world. I think that's one of the biggest messages that I take away from Christmas, that God has never given up on the world, even at its worst. God is interested, so interested that God identifies God's self with us. In all of the afflictions, God was afflicted. That mystery just kind of baffles me, because we tend, when we see those kind of things, to kind of move away from them. But rather than moving away from them, God stepped into the midst of the hatred and the violence and the racism and the sexism and sends God's son. The mystery, it baffles us. The working out of life, it blows our mind. What did they sense in this child? This new birth, the very divine presence of God. The eternal God stepped into time among humanity in the midst of all that pain. And for me, Christmas is our evidence that far from abandoning us, far from abandoning the world, God has visited it in the person of Jesus Christ. God comes and visits us, entering into the heat and the sweat and the sorrow and the pain. God comes and steps into the death, steps into the violence, steps into it all. And this, for me, is the good news of Christmas. And the possibility, and the best news the world has ever known. That this new child brought hope. It's so wonderful that one can understand how to find this incredible hope. It's kind of like finding a jewel in the midst of a landfill of nothingness. This hope. Do you need hope today? I need hope. We find it in this mysterious child that comes to us. And as people of faith, we celebrate the coming of this mysterious child every time around this year. But wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to celebrate this each day? With all of the stuff that's happening outside there. But it's not just the stuff happening outside there. All of the stuff that's happening inside here. I need this child to be born, using John's word, again, today in me. And I pray that this child is born again today in each of you. And we take the love of God's Son coming into this world, bask in it, and then do this. Open up ourselves to share it with somebody else. Let's pray. God, we so desperately need to hear something good. We desperately need to hear something good. And thank you for the good news that Christ came to offer us new hope, new life, a new way of seeing each other, and a new way of seeing the world. Amen.